Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, our text comes from the book of Hebrews. Like some of the other epistles that we have, the sermon Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were suffering at a time of persecution. They found themselves under attack over their faith. But while other letters may only touch on the subject, the central focus of Hebrews is that recent Jewish converts were considering going back to Judaism. These Jewish converts thought, as many do today, that the path to peace is the path of least resistance. This is not the case. True peace is that peace which we have from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has earned it for us on the cross of Calvary. We currently have that peace, even in the midst of the trials and things that we suffer in this world, whether they are greater trials and struggles or lesser trials and struggles. That being said, Jesus never promised us a rose garden. In fact, far from it, Jesus promised that he came to cast fire on the earth. He asked in our gospel text, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." We do indeed have peace in our Lord Jesus Christ, but it is a peace that surpasses all understanding, especially the understanding of this world. This world desires a peace which is only tolerance or a permission to persist in sin. Jesus has given you perfect peace. But until he returns, the war continues to rage between God and sin, and with us caught up in the middle. That is the very place that these Jewish Christians found themselves when the writer of Hebrews was writing to them. Let's turn to our text then to see how the writer of Hebrews encouraged these Jewish Christian converts to remain in Christianity and what encouragement it has for us today. The author of Hebrews reminded his hearers of their predecessors in the faith, those heroes of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and yes, even Rahab are all mentioned by the author. Each of these had challenges to endure, and some of them were even life-threatening, not like baptism. But as they went through the struggles, they were maintained in faith by the Holy Spirit. We see this over and over as we read the words, "by faith." Again, some of the recent Jewish converts were wondering, "What did I get myself into? Can this really be the right path?" But the author of the letter wrote to them what we've been hearing over the last several weeks. The Old Testament was nothing but the shadow of a greater substance to come, the substance that we find in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Israelites that were the Jews of the Old Testament were given the shadow of the things to come in Christ. They were given the promised land on earth, but that only foreshadowed the greater promised land we look forward to, heaven and the new heaven and new earth to come, as promised in Revelation. They were given circumcision to remind them of the Messiah to come, while we have baptism, like the one this morning, which points us to the Messiah who has come and will be coming again. Those in the Old Testament only had the shadow of the substance which came in our Lord Jesus and which we still have in him. So there is really no need to go back to Judaism, because that would be like going from a person to the shadow of a person. It'd be kind of strange to go looking for a person's shadow rather than the person themselves. And further, those Jewish converts would be rejecting Jesus' free grace by leaving the Christian faith. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the same for us today. There is no turning to another religion without denying Jesus and losing his free grace. He has given that he has given you. And look at what you would be turning to. Every other religion in the world talks about works. and works righteousness. Are your works enough to appease God? Remember what you've heard in the Lutheran Church over and over again about how much work you would have to do to appease God for the sin that you have committed. And not even just for the sin that you have committed, but for the sin that you were born with from Adam and Eve as well. If you turn away from Christ Jesus, you will be expected to do just that, to pay for your sins. And as it says elsewhere in the Scriptures, you will be thrown in the prison of hell until you can pay the last penny, which you will not be able to do. In other words, you won't be getting out of hell. So look again at the point the author of Hebrews was making to his Jewish Christian fellow believers. The author wrote that despite the severity of their situations, our predecessors in the faith, that is the believers in the Old Testament, did not turn from it. What does our text say that they did instead? Well, look at the example of Moses. It says that by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Moses would rather endure the temporary pains and sufferings in this earth rather than go against God in his Christ. He endured. To today's society, that is a strange word, endurance. Yeah, sure, you might hear about it in the Olympics, but the day-to-day person doesn't want endurance. They want things yesterday. They want things at the touch of a button. They want them now. And they want peace. But not the peace that Christ gives, but peace for them. They want tolerance. They want acceptance of sinful acts. Yet there is a reason that patience is listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit, along with joy and peace. God can and does work good things from those times that we have to endure. After his trials, Moses got to see the promised land from afar. He, like the other Israelites, had to die before entering into the promised land. He did not reach the promised land, but he did get to see it from afar. And then, as the scriptures say, God himself buried Moses. The author of Hebrews then reminds his Jewish convert fellow believers that they had seen with their own eyes, or at least heard about, Jesus, the Messiah, the one to whom Moses was looking forward. Moses and the others only got to see from afar, from a great distance, what they themselves got to see with their very ears, or very eyes, and hear with their very ears. While you and I may not have seen Jesus with our own eyes yet, we have still received him through the hearing of his word, and how he went to the cross for our sins. You have heard then things about him that those in the Old Testament only wished to have heard, and only wished to have known, who it was that would be the Messiah, and what he would do to take care of the problem of sin. The people of the Old Testament never got to hear, except through a prophecy, here or there, again as shadows, pointing to the substance found in Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Our predecessors in the faith, those in the Old Testament, endured what they were dealing with by looking forward to Jesus coming, the joy of the Savior from sin who would be coming. Jesus Christ came as that Savior, as you have gotten to hear. He paid the price for all of the sins on the cross. But he was doing more than just that on the cross. He was paying the price for sin on the cross, but he was also looking forward to something. He was looking forward to that last day when he would come and gather all believers to himself, and he would enter with them into the new heaven and new earth promised in Revelation, including you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. That joy is our joy as well. By faith, we are called to endure these trying, turbulent, and confusing times so that we will be gathered into the joyful throng of believers, old and new. We trust by faith that at that time, we will enter the new heaven and new earth, promise and revelation, together with them. We find that joy sown in our very hearts as we hear these words through the working of the Holy Spirit. He works in us today to make us patient through these turbulent times, but also that we might have joy and peace, not only now, but especially when Jesus will return and take us to those great times to come. In those times to come, there will not only be patience, but a joy and a peace which surpasses all human understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.